Well, good morning to each one. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. We didn't give a time for testimony, but when we were singing that one song, I was blessed by the one phrase at the end of the verse. It talks about release. And thought about the Sunday school lesson, and what was the difference between the men that were standing there preaching, teaching, and the men that were listening. One of them had, the one group had experienced that release, and the other group hadn't. And I believe that's our message today. Well, for a message this morning, I'd like to look at God's voice. God's voice. I'd like to think about what that is in today's world, what that is in our lives today. Speaks about a relationship with God. We know that we are created in the image of God, and one of the things that we have is a voice that we can communicate with. Most of us do, and every once in a while it's taken away from us, and we realize how important it is. But God has a voice as well, and God speaks, and we like to think about that. What is a relationship? What is a relationship that you have with somebody? What's it made up of? How do we have a relationship? How does a relationship happen? What does it consist of? Sometimes we have a relationship with somebody that we never saw. We talk to him on the phone maybe all the time, and maybe it's someone we call every week to order something, and after a while we learn to know the person, but we've never even met them. Well, one of the ways that we have a relationship with somebody is we communicate with them, we talk to them. And there's many strangers that we have zero relationship with because we've never communicated at all. Even people that we've seen, or maybe we see pretty often, but we have no relationship. The other week I went to talk to a client about taking some trees out of her backyard. It's on one of these hills. It's real steep. And it was, I believe her front porch was about two stories higher than the street below it. And it was about that steep in the back, but she thought that let's come from the street behind, we can get there easier. And still wasn't easy necessarily, you can ask when. But in talking about her neighbor, she said, we can go out above. But she said, I don't really know her. She said, I've lived here 30 years, but I've never talked to her. She's like, I hear her yelling at her dog sometimes, but that's as much as I've talked to her. She's talked to me. And I thought about that. Did she know her neighbor because she heard her yelling at her dog? Well, I don't think so. I think that's pretty easy to think about. But now let's think about that in our relationship with God. What kind of relationship do we have with God? What kind of voice are we hearing? Do we only hear God yelling sometimes? Or does our relationship go deeper than that? Want to think about if we hear God's voice, and how do we recognize it when we hear it that we know it's His? And how do we get to the place that God's voice is familiar to us? I don't have enough of time to look at all the different places God spoke in the Bible. We know the Bible is God's spoken word, written word. And He spoke to man and they wrote it down. But I would like to look at a few places where He spoke. And you can turn back to Genesis chapter 3. First place, well, we hear it first in Genesis 1. But where He spoke to man here, just to get a little picture, and I know these verses are familiar to us, but to get a little picture of the relationship with mankind that God intended to have and the communication with mankind that God had planned on. We'll just read the first couple of verses here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So obviously she had spoken to God. She knew how God felt. She knew what God had said about the trees in the garden, the commandments. They didn't have that much to keep track of. She knew it well. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God hath For God doth know then the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so I'll just stop there, because that's more the words that God spoke to man. But there's a couple things that we see here in reading these verses, and that is God intended to have a daily relationship with mankind. God intended to speak to man every day, face to face. And they were familiar with the fact that God would be coming to speak to them. Unfortunately, they allowed the devil to get between them and God and to break down this interaction. Because of their sin, it meant they could no longer come into the presence of a holy God. It ruined it. Because God is holy, to allow man into his presence, he would no longer be holy. And so God put them outside the garden and no longer came and talked to them on that level. Right in Genesis chapter 4, you have the second conversation God's having with mankind. He's talking with Cain and Abel, right in the next generation. And there's a couple things we learn from that story. We know that Cain and Abel both sacrificed, gave an offering to God, took of the things that they had and offered it to God. And God was satisfied with Abel's offering because it caused the shedding of blood. And there was a type of the redemption coming. But Cain was so offended that God did not accept his, because it was his hard work that he had done as well. And he had given it up and given it to God, and God did not accept it. And a couple things that we learned, and that is man doesn't like to be told what to do. Cain did not want to hear. Man likes to defend himself and his position of what he has done. And the conversations that most men have with God today are not very good, but that's the way we are by nature. We're born not wanting anyone to tell us what to do. There's a number of more times in the Old Testament I thought about Noah. God called him to build the ark, gave him many directions of what to do. But Noah was obedient. Of all the people in this world that didn't find grace, Noah did. And that's because of his obedience to God, he found grace. Also thought about Abraham and how many times God spoke to Abraham and how he had conversations with him about him taking his journey to a new country and about before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and he talked about Lot. God speaks to people who have faith in him. Abraham showed much faith, and it was because of his faith that God made a covenant with him. Also thought about Moses and his responsibilities he had, and the burning bush that he saw that was burning. It wasn't consumed, and he went down there to see what it was, and suddenly a voice spoke to him. It said, Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. And that speaks of God speaking to the people that he wants to give responsibilities to. God speaks to those he calls to responsibility. I'd like to go now to 1 Kings chapter 19, and this gives a little more picture of God speaking. We'll read 1 Kings 19, verse 1 through 13. I think we find ourselves in this situation a little bit more than maybe some of the other situations. Now, a little background of this story is right before this, Elijah had finally come out in the open there and met up against the prophets of Baal. Remember, Ahab and Jezebel were in charge of Israel this time, and there was 400 prophets of Baal that gathered together. 450 prophets of Baal, and they called on their gods, and there was no response. And Elijah called on his God, and there was a tremendous response. The altar was burned, that was soaked. The stones, everything was consumed, and all Israel could see who the true God was. And Elijah prayed for rain, and the rain came. And suddenly, Jezebel is angry and out after Elijah, and Elijah forgets what God just did. Let's read verse 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Well, she had nothing to fear. The gods did nothing to her servants. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." You ever struggle with suicide? You're not alone. Here's another man of God that struggled with thoughts of suicide, except he wanted God to take him away. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither under a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel hath forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. There was a tornado, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Must have been a really strong one. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And then they go on in conversation about it. But here was God speaking. And how did God speak in this voice? Yes, God did show himself through some mighty things here. He gave him food to eat. And when Elijah ate that food, he said he went 40 days and 40 nights without eating on that strength. Went out down through the desert the whole way onto Mount Sinai. And God was in that, but that wasn't God's voice. You also have God in sending a wind, sending an earthquake, but God didn't tell him what he wanted to tell him in that. But after that, there was a still small voice that spoke to him. And one of the things I learned from this is God does speak to those who are at the end of themselves. When we come to the end of themselves, Elijah was finally ready to hear what God had to say. And then he went from there, and God gave him his servant, Elisha. A couple more examples of where God speaks. If we go to the beginning of most of the Gospels, it says just a few words that God said, and that was at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, dove descended, and there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that was God speaking to mankind in a quiet way. Also, if you go to Acts, Saul, before he was called Paul, was on the way to Damascus, and God struck him down, and there was a light and a voice that spoke from heaven. And we could go and look at that as well. I don't have time to go into all of that this morning. How does God speak today? How do we hear God speak? I have a number of points here on how God speaks to us. Have you heard an audible voice? Has ever been a loud voice spoke to you? I think sometimes the Spirit has spoken pretty loudly to me, and I was maybe in particular situations where I needed guidance or needed conviction, and God spoke to me. But I don't know that I could ever say that I heard an audible voice, that I looked around to see who it was. You know, like Samuel, when God spoke to him, and he kept running to Eli and saying, "What's this voice? You called me." And Eli said, "No, ask him. Ask God to tell you." Never had one of those experiences quite like that. So what is God's voice to us then? 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And also Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. And this is the most clear revelation of God's word that we have. It's written down. We can hold it in our hands. We can read it. And we judge all other voices by this voice that he's given, the word. And we hear a lot of other voices. And sometimes people say, "Well, God told me this and God told me that." Or maybe their church voted and had a decision and the decision was made. But the decision was directly against the Bible. Now, was that God's voice? We're going to talk about some of those as well, how God speaks. But it may never, no other voices. Paul said, even if an angel come and preach to you, if it's different than the gospel that I've given to you, don't believe it. It's not a true angel. And so God speaks through the word today, through the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." God has spoken to us through Jesus. That's another way that God has spoken to us. And those of us who've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ understand the world and what's going on a whole lot more than the people who haven't ever done that. There's something about knowing Jesus and that relationship being passed from death into life that helps us understand the presence of good and evil in the world. That's just one of those ways, one of those questions. When you meet an unbeliever, I like to ask him, is where did good and evil come from? And how do you sort between it? And why do you feel guilty when you do something wrong? That's God speaking. Number three, God speaks through nature. Romans 1 verse 19 and 20 talk about that. How the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse. God speaks through nature. I saw a couple statuses this morning that showed God speaking through nature. That happens. Some people are more sensitive to that than others. Some of us don't notice, and other people do. I believe we're going through, you can see shooting stars last night and tonight if you go out in the middle of the night to see it, 10 o'clock at night. God speaks through nature. Number four, God speaks through other believers. Another brother shared the word this morning, read the Bible to us, and explained it in a way we hadn't thought of. God's speaking through him. Maybe another brother sees our life and sees something that we are missing, and he says something about it, and God spoke to us through them. Or maybe he encouraged us in something that had blessed him, and God speaks that way. Sometimes we have to ask for it. People don't tell us unless we ask for it. Let's be open to people willing to tell. Number five, God speaks through music. And David's life is a clear example of a man that turned to music, to songs, to psalms, as they called them and calls it in the Bible, to soothe his soul, to hear God speak. He wrote many songs about it. That's one of the reasons that we sing when we worship. Did the songs inspire you this morning? Did they speak to you this morning? I talked about the one phrase that jumped out to me. God speaks to us through music. Number six, God speaks to us through circumstances, things that happen in our life. God gives them in our life to wake us up. Circumstances alone are not enough, but God does use circumstances. If you had been involved in an accident yesterday and you were paralyzed from the waist down, you would have to say that God spoke. And that does happen to people. You lost a member in your body or something happened. God speaks. This is mixed with other methods. Number 7, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. There is a still small voice that we hear, each one of us, in our hearts that God speaks to us through. Sometimes it's clearer than other times. Sometimes we suddenly remember to pray for somebody or an incident, something that's happening, and we remember it at the right time, and we have to say that that was God's Spirit that reminded us of that. Sometimes we're reading something in the Bible and it doesn't make sense, and then suddenly the lights come on and it really starts to come together, and that's God's Spirit speaking in our life. Or how about the fact that when you leave this morning, maybe even after the service, before you leave, you might talk about someone that said something in the Sunday school class or in the sermon, and the other person doesn't even remember it. The things that stood out to you are different than the things that stand out to somebody else. Do you ever think about why that is? God's Spirit helps you apply things in your life, and so God's Spirit might have me take away one thing, and he has somebody else take away something else. I think that's beautiful how he does that. God also speaks to us through prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Talks about the Spirit helping us when we pray, and us understanding because we pray. I'll have you turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and read a verse here that I thought was interesting. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. And this is talking about where God was prophesying, had the prophet here prophesy against the Israelites. And he mixed judgment and also a promise, promises together with it. And in verse 21, he says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." And I thought that was just a nice way of explaining God's voice. Oftentimes we're walking in the way, and we're in the way, God's way, and we hear a voice, and it tells us one thing or another. And that's so often how God speaks to us today. Well, some people don't hear the voice of God. Sometimes we don't hear the voice of God. Why not? Why don't we hear the voice of God? I have a couple of points here why we don't hear God's voice. First of all, too often we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Talked about that with Cain and how we're born not wanting to receive instruction or correction, or just not wanting to hear other people talk to us sometimes. We're born that way. We're born wanting our own needs supplied and not wanting to supply other people's needs. We're born, you see that phrase sometimes, is initials, BYOB, stands for be your own boss. You know, do what you want to do and don't listen to other people. That is our first nature. We don't want to hear it. How often do you talk to people that don't want to hear you? Well, sometimes we talk to our children and they don't want to hear us and we keep talking anyway. But so often when you start talking to somebody and they're just not listening to you, what do? You stop talking to them. Sometimes our wives have to do that to us till we listen. Why would God keep talking to us if we don't want to listen? Why would God keep speaking to us if we don't want to hear it? So maybe the reason that we're not hearing God's voice is that God doesn't, we're not listening anyway, so God doesn't speak. Number 2, sometimes we're too busy making noise. We're too busy making noise. If we all start talking at the same time in here, only one person is officially the loudest, right? Someone is the loudest. That's why we use that suffix, EST. And if you're the loudest, can you hear anybody else? Probably not. Like Elijah, we have to be willing to be quiet so we can hear that voice. long as Elijah was loud and telling God what he wanted, God didn't speak to him, or God spoke in different ways. Sometimes we think we know it all. We know the answer to the solution. We see the problem in our life, and we know what needs to be done about it. And we have the answer for it, and maybe it's not working out. Do we like talking to people that have all the answers? Do you like talking to people that has all the answers? I don't think God does either. And if we keep telling God the answers that we have for the problems or whatever that we're wanting God's voice on, then why would God speak? Does God speak to people who have all the answers and they're too busy telling God? Number three, maybe the problem is we're listening to other voices. When you think about all the voices that are out there talking, so many books and commentaries have been around for years. There's so much research and studies being done about things. There's articles being written every day and put out there about humans and how they relate to life. So many discoveries, or they call them discoveries, that are happening every day. New inventions. So many counselors. So many newspapers. And I think about, of course, we think about how the internet has made it so much easier to go out there and get information. So busy listening to Google. Maybe we're listening to peer pressure or tradition or human reasoning for our problems. Then why would we hear God speak if we're listening to all those other things in our life? Do we stop and look and listen and wait for God to speak? Go through those steps. I gave you 8 different ways that God speaks to us. Instead of filling our lives up with all this commotion and all these other voices. Number 4, another reason we don't hear God's voice is we're too mindless. We just don't care. We don't care. God wants me, you'll have to come get me. He can come tell me something if he wants me to hear. I just do what feels good, and I don't worry about it the rest of the time. You know, the Proverbs calls that the fool. And the fool that just minds his own business, does his own thing, and doesn't care, and figures it'll all work out okay in the end. Well, that's easy to talk about on a Sunday morning. A lot of people didn't go to church this morning. They stayed at home. We say, shame on them. But Monday morning when we get up, do we go to God or do we just not care and go on about our life and let him come and talk to us throughout the day if he wants to? Number 5, maybe we're too far away to hear. Maybe we're too far from God. Maybe we followed our own way too long that we don't hear God talking anymore. You know, if someone's walking away from you, do you keep talking to them? Sometimes we yell after them a little bit. But if they turn and walk away from us, do we keep talking to them? Normally not. If you're walking away from God today, he's going to eventually stop talking to you. That's what he says. Maybe that's the reason we don't hear God's voice. We're walking away. Would God want to speak to people who are cold and hard-hearted? Thank God he has. He's spoken to each one of us in that state. But if we turn from him again, there's a danger in that. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. It says, let go of all these things, all these distractions. Turn towards God. And he's going to lift us up again. He's going to speak to us. So if you're feeling like you fell into any one of these traps, there's still hope. There's still help. We just have to ask for it. I was going to read the story of in Luke 14. I won't read it now. Of the man that had a supper and bade all the men to come in. And all these people gave excuses why they didn't want to hear, why they didn't want to come. And the master was upset. And so they went out and compelled out into the byways, highways, everywhere, and got everybody else to come in. The people who were bidden, they didn't come. They had too many other reasons to come. Are there any good reasons that we have not to listen to God speak? I think so many times we come up with all these things that are more important to do. Thought about our house. When it's time for a meal. Some come right away and some come later. Some are distracted and sometimes some of us are sleeping. And it takes an invitation sometimes. And God gives us that invitation as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come to him and sup with him, and he with me. Understanding the call is the voice of God. Understanding. When something comes into our life and we understand, when we have understanding, that is God's voice. We understand that we have to change. It's God's voice. So often we're listening maybe for something audible for God to speak. And we know what we should do. We're giving it as an excuse. Some people understand it's time for supper when they smell it. When they smell it being cooked. Other people, it takes a lot more than that for them to respond. Think about that, coming to the age of accountability, and it seems like the lights come on a lot more for some than for others. It takes longer for others. But when we understand it's God's call in our life, then we need to head towards the truth. If we don't hear God's voice or we don't respond to it, what happens? We get lost. And the Bible gives the analogy of sheep and a shepherd many times. And what happens to the sheep that get lost, that don't listen to the voice of the shepherd, to go off their own way? Well, after a while, the wolf gets them. The wolf gets the sheep. And that's why it's so serious that we hear God's voice today. If we don't hear God's voice, the wolf's going to get us. And that's a dangerous place to be. One more thought that I'd like to share is the argument that I know some of us argued about in school. And that is, it's an argument about sound. And it had to do with the 1947 Webster's definition of sound. And because of the way Webster's had it written, people used to argue about what sound was. But the question was, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, does it make a sound? A tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, doesn't make a sound. And Webster's definition was, that which is heard, the effect which is produced by the vibration of a body affecting the ear. That's what it said for sound. And so when people read the definition of sound, they said if nobody hears it, then there's no sound. So if a tree falls over and no one hears it, there's no sound. Well, I think the definition has been rewritten since then, so we don't need to argue over that anymore. But the point is, laying it all aside, if the vibration of God's voice has not affected the core of your being, have you heard him? Have you heard him? God still speaks, but if God's voice has not shaken us enough to move us to anything, have we heard him? What am I making happen in my life? Is it directly related to the hearing of God's voice, or am I just drifting along through life? That's a challenge I'd like to leave with us this morning. Your parents say to you, did you hear me? Do you hear me? And they're not saying, do you hear my voice? They're saying, do you understand me? Is what's coming into your ear making an impression on your brain? And will that translate out into action with your body? Do you hear me? And God's the same way. And that, how do we go from hearing to understanding to obeying? How do we hear that voice? And it's a number of things that it takes. But we need a desire. We need to want it. We need to ask for it. And if we haven't been doing what we should, we can start that anytime. Makes these things that get in the way, we lay them aside. A lot of things that get in the way every day, and that's why we have to come to church every Sunday, to be reminded what's most important. In Hebrews, he says, Hebrews 5:14, he says, that by reason of use, we have our senses exercised. Sometimes we just don't have enough of practice to hear. We need to practice it, and hear it, and listen it, and exercise it. And it will become stronger and stronger in our life. Of course, there's the aspect of faith, believing. And one other thought that I read about this was that even if you don't hear God's voice in any other way, look for his love. Because God's voice speaks. God speaks to us through his love to us. That speaks volumes to us. Lastly, I have a quote here that I read. It says, it is never God who is not speaking, but it is us who are not hearing. It's never God that's not speaking. It's us that aren't hearing. God is not hindered by us, but he chooses to allow us to make the decisions. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, as we pause before you this morning, we want to thank you that you have spoken to man in times past in many different ways. You've spoken to man, but you've always spoken the same thing, always revealed your will to man and asked him to surrender his will to you. And as we pause before you this morning, we want to ask that you would continue to speak, and we want to be humble enough to hear. We want to hear your voice in our life, and we want to be able to listen to it and follow it. And we just ask that you would help us to be sensitive to that still small voice and not too busy to hear it, to not hear it. We pray that you bless each one here, those that have exercised themselves much in this, that you would continue to speak to them, that they would continue to exercise themselves in it, but also to the young ones, Lord, that are only beginning to hear the voice of God in their life, that you would help them to learn what it is and to listen to it. Father, help us as we go out from these doors to be a light and to be your voice to a lost and dying world around us. Help us to not be afraid of being too bold, but to be afraid of not saying anything at all. So help us, Lord, to speak and to share. Go with us, Lord, and make us a blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.